Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Money. I'm Stephen Boucher, a certified financial planner and your host. And let me start off by saying thank you for tuning in. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your day. Hopefully I'm able to provide phenomenal information for you so that you can get pointed with your financial future. Remember, you get one opportunity to retire. When you reach that retirement age, you can't go back and make up for all those decades that you were working and you could have put money away and you just weren't able to put money away. And folks, I know sometimes it's hard to put money away. I know when I give out some statistics, some of the listening audience says, Steve, there's no way I can do that. And I always say that somehow, some way, you got to find a way, unless you want to work forever and ever. Today, I am joined by one of my colleagues, Nicole Goble, our wealth advisor, who's also CPA. And Nicole and I hopefully will give you some good information. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me on today. And great to be here to share with the audience. Again, thank you for listening. We really appreciate you speaking with us.
So Nicole and I are going to give you some ideas, some good information. As I said, hopefully we're going to plant some seeds for you where you can on Monday morning go in and talk to your business office and maybe up how much you're saving for retirement and so forth. So let me start off by saying one statistic that comes from Vanguard is if you're not saving 10 to 15% of your salary, more than likely you're not saving enough. Now, remember, there's going to be a lot of people out there that have what we call pension plans, defined benefit plans. They may work for a company, but more than likely a municipality or some other entity where you're guaranteed, like the state, a certain percentage of your salary. And that's worth a lot of money, folks. But unfortunately, there's not a lot of people out there that have these type plans. When you have those plans, if you're getting $50,000 a year coming in as a pension benefit, that's like having $1 million in the bank, believe it or not. We always say if you have $1 million, you should be able to take 4%, 5%, 6% out a year. That if as long as you're invested properly, you have a well-diversified portfolio and like a growth and income strategy, a 60% stock, 40% bond, cash, and alternative asset mix, you should be able to take about 4, 5, 6% out year in, year out and keep that balance intact. There's going to be some years where you dip into the principal, other years where you add to the principal, but that's usually a safe number. So if you have $1 million, you should be able to take out $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year. If you're getting $50,000 a year as a defined benefit plan, that's like having $1 million in a bank. So for those of you that have that, congratulations. But I can almost assure you the majority of the listening audience do not have those type plans. So going back to what Vanguard says, if you work for a company where you have a 401k, a simple IRA, maybe you don't have a pension plan, you're putting money into your own IRA or a Roth IRA, you should be trying to save 10 to 15% of your salary if you haven't done any retirement planning. And it sounds like a lot. And I always say, think about it this way. Monday morning, you go into work and you lose your job. You're going to be devastated. Tuesday morning, you get a call from your company saying, hey, come on back in. We can't pay you 100% of what you were earning, but we can pay you 90% of what you were earning. The only difference is Monday you're going into your business office or HR department and asking them to put 10% of your salary into a 401k or whatever the pension plan is. I know it's a simple way of thinking about it, but in a lot of ways, when it comes to saving money, if you're not paying yourself first, you're being shortchanged because the money that comes into your pocketbook, you're probably spending all of it. And a lot of people, if I were to ask them to do a budget, they really can't come up with where they spend every dollar. So we always try to encourage our clients and anybody who will listen to us, save first. Pay yourself first. Put money into your pension plan at work, especially if there's a match. That's free money. A lot of pension plans will say, hey, if you invest and save up to 6%, we'll match 3%. Every company's different. Well, that's free money. If you're not taking advantage of that, if you're not doing at least the minimum of what they're looking to match up to, you're leaving money on the table. That's free money. Other plans, if you're not taking advantage of putting money away, try to pay yourself first. I can assure you the first few paychecks, you're going to say, why did I listen to Steve and Nicole? But after the first few years, you're going to look all of a sudden at your balances, and you're going to have $10,000, $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 saved in your pension plans, and you're going to really like the advice that we give you. So I'm going to stop there, see if Nicole has anything to add to that. But the theme for really being able to retire and having money to draw on, because remember, when you're working all those decades, let's make believe you're going to retire at 65, you come out of college and you're working for 40, 45 years, you should be trying to put money away for those 40, 45 years, because when you hit retirement age, now you're going to take from that money that you've saved all those decades. That's why I say when you reach that retirement age that you're hoping to retire, you can't go back and make up for all those decades of not saving money. Nicole, what do you think about what I just said?
You're absolutely right, Steve. Really, you're leaving free money on the table if you're not contributing to your plan and could get that employer match. And you know, many companies do that 3% safe harbor match. So, again, really just doing 3% of your salary even. So it's really important to understand what is it that you would stand to receive if you make any contributions to a plan. And, you know, start as early as possible. But it's also never too late to start contributing. This year, someone can contribute up to $19,500 if you're under 50, but they have what's called a special catch-up contribution for anyone over 50 to do another $6,500. And the reason is, as you said, Steve, many people earlier in life are funding a lot of other goals. They're funding a home. They're maybe paying for college for their kids, even a wedding for their kids. So they're not necessarily paying themselves first. So really that catch-up contribution or the ability to contribute up to $26,000 after you're 50 is meant for those people who, again, didn't focus on their retirement planning early on. But I can't stress enough the power of compounding. I was lucky enough that when I graduated college and started my first job, it was in the financial world. So I was told about a 401k plan, and back then, 20-plus years ago, I didn't immediately have the option to contribute. But within that first year, I then became eligible, and I started putting a little bit of money away. And again, at the time, I was, you know, just meeting my basic expenses, car payments. But by putting that little bit of money away, it really has helped me really to amass a nice retirement savings, you know, 20-plus years into my career that would not have happened had I not started as early. So I'm very grateful for that. But again, fortunate enough to have moved into this financial world. You know, and there's other decisions to make also, because, you know, there's so many different types of employer plans out there. So it's really important to understand what are your options and what makes the most sense for you.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. And, you know, as you said, you were fortunate enough to learn about saving money right out of college. I know both of my children, and I use this story often, when they got out of college, I said, listen, I don't care what your first job starts paying you. It could be $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 a year. Before you have all that money start coming in and get used to spending it, because you weren't used to spending that kind of money before, right away, make sure that you put money away. Save. And I had both of my children, the jobs that they worked at, max out their what they could put into a pension plan. And then I had them open up a Roth IRA because their first job, they weren't making as much money. And the tax rates were lower than not. in a Roth IRA, you don't get a tax break for putting money in, but boy, that money grows tax deferred and it's tax free when you take it out. There's nothing better than taking money and not paying Uncle Sam. So you kind of forego that small tax break up front, whereas a traditional IRA or 401k, you put money in and that money comes off your earned income. So let's make believe you're earning $50,000 a year and you're putting $5,000 into your 401k. Well, your taxable earnings is only $45,000. So Uncle Sam is subsidizing. With the Roth IRA or even the Roth side of the 401k, you're not getting that tax break, but that money grows. And as Nicole said, when it compounds, holy cow, you have a whole lot of money that's tax-free when you retire. So Ryan, I'll never forget, you know, he worked for Ernst & Young over in Boston for about 8 years, and he put money away. When it came time for him to buy his first house, we actually came up with a strategy where he was able to liquidate some money from the Roth IRA with minimum tax consequences because it was in there for 5 years or longer, and use that as a down payment and use that as leverage to get a bigger asset. Obviously, he was getting a mortgage, and with mortgage rates being as low as they are, having a home, if you can leverage yourself into a mortgage and a big asset, hopefully that big asset will grow. So it was win-win. And this is just planting a seed for a lot of young people who say, why should I put money into a retirement plan? I'm having fun. I'm going out. I'm buying pizzas on Friday nights, drinking beer, going to the movies, drinking expensive lattes from Starbucks, whatever it might be. Try to pay yourself first. I can't stress that enough. You know, Nicole, a lot of people, especially young people, they feel like they can't save money. And you know, if we can just encourage them to do that, hey, maybe instead of them retiring at 65, they're able to retire at 60 or 55.
Absolutely, and you make a really good point about the Roth, because that adds a lot of flexibility. So, again, you know, what's right for each individual is dependent on their situation, but because you have access to those Roth contributions after 5 years, even if you're under that 59 and a half when you can start taking from your retirement accounts, it does provide for a lot of flexibility for purchasing a first home or, you know, other maybe healthcare needs, unexpected needs in the future. And it depends, again, on that person's financial situation, tax situation. Some people might be in such a high tax bracket that they feel like it makes sense to do that maximum pre-tax contribution, whereas others, it might make sense, you know, to only save in their 401k up to the employer match and then consider a Roth IRA separately, you know, for that savings if they don't have the option for a Roth 401k. So, again, all of these decisions are always personal, and that brings it back to, again, how we work with our clients on all the financial planning and ensuring that we're helping them make the decision on what elections to make with their employer plans, how to save outside of their employer plans, and just the right financial decisions, again, in their life around funding college, around buying a house, around, you know, when they can retire.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
You know, it's all good stuff, Nicole. I'm sure most of the listening audience is soaking this up, or I hope they're soaking it up. I've been doing radio since in 1995. I've been in business since 1990, but doing radio since 1995. And sometimes people say, hey, does it ever get tiring or old? And I say, absolutely not. I get so energized when I know I'm coming in to do the show, because I feel like I'm helping so many people on the other side of the microphone. And folks, believe me, I do my hair and nails before I come in the radio. I really want to look good on the microphone. And I'm telling you, when I look through that microphone and I see all of you out there listening, I want to make sure that I can give you some things that will help you financially speaking. And this is my way of giving back to the community. You know, I'm fortunate. The community's been good to me. And I just, you know, I can't help people enough when it comes to getting them pointed in the right direction with their investments and, more importantly, their retirement planning. And in our firm, you know, a lot of folks engage our services mostly to manage their wealth, and we do a stellar job of managing their wealth. We have no conflict of interest. We're fiduciaries. I've been a fiduciary since 1993, 28 years now. Before, it was a buzzword. Back then, nobody knew what a fiduciary was, so I've been a fiduciary for a long time. I knew I loved what I did. What I didn't like was earning commissions and pushing this product or that product and getting paid more. And that conflict, I just wasn't comfortable. So I knew early on in my career that I wanted to look for a way, search for a way of working with my clients where I could avoid that conflict of interest. And I was able to wipe it out completely by acting as a fiduciary. And our clients' assets are held at Charles Schwab. And believe me, we could use Vanguard, Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, any of them. They're knocking on our door all the time. But back then, I developed a strategic alliance with Charles Schwab. They were number one and the best back then. They're still number one and the best now. Our clients know that their accounts are at Charles Schwab. They can go into any Charles Schwab office, get on their website, call their 800 number. It's their money in their name at Charles Schwab, and there's something comforting about that. But way back then, I knew that I wanted to be a fiduciary, and when clients engaged our services, I knew that all I wanted was to advise on what was best for them. First and foremost, nothing else matters. All that matters is what's right for our clients. What advice do they need? And my team, and I'm so fortunate to be surrounded by a team, including CPAs and certified financial planners, and we do so much for our clients, more than just managing their wealth. We do so much planning. I mean, we've helped clients with decisions on, do I rent a car, lease a car? Not rent a car. I guess leasing a car is renting a car, right, Nicole? but buying a car or leasing a car. You know, I have clients that have us on retainer where we act as their personal chief financial officer, and we do some family office type services. You know, I have clients down in Manhattan that we literally will negotiate real estate transactions for them, and we're looking to do more with our services. So as Nicole's pointing out, helping clients with, you know, what they should be doing with retirement planning is important to us. And as I said, everybody gets one opportunity to retire. One. You can't go back and make up for it. So it's so important that people are prepared to, you know, when they reach that retirement age, whatever it may be, and the younger, the sooner you get started, the earlier you can actually retire. So maybe your dream is, you know, because your parents or grandparents, you know, 65 is always the magic number that used to be the full age for Social Security benefits. Now it's 66, 67 years old. Am I correct?
It's 67 for most people now, but kind of getting up there.
It is. And, you know, so 65 is still that magic number, although for Social Security reasons, 67-ish, you know, changes. And remember, when you take your Social Security benefits, the younger you take it, you can start taking it at 62, but boy, you give up almost 37, 38% of what you could get at full retirement age. And let's make believe your full retirement age is at age 67. Well, if you have longevity in your family and you push it off, you're going to get an 8% raise from 67 to age 70. By age 70, folks, you need to take your Social Security. If you don't take your Social Security at age 70, you're leaving money on a table, because if you realize at age 72 that you should have started taking it at age 70 and you forgot, Social Security doesn't make up those 2 years. Whereas up to age 70, the longer you put it off, the more you're going to get when you do start taking it. In your break-even age, what would you say, Nicole? Usually mid, late 70s, if you're going to live past there?
Absolutely, yeah. Late 70s, early 80s in some cases. But, you know, again, that's an annuity, right? The Social Security. And so really deferring that, that's the best kind of decision you can make, that 8% per year increase. And really, that really protects you against longevity. So I know so many people come to you, Steve, asking about annuities. And, you know, we talk about really being invested in the market, avoiding things that lock up your money for a long period and the high fees that might be associated with those products. It's much more important for somebody to talk about or think about deferring their Social Security versus trying to purchase an expensive product like that to protect for that. And, you know, another big mistake people make, not just not contributing soon enough to their 401k plans or their other retirement plans, but being, you know, not being aggressive enough and really thinking about that mindset, as you said, around you're potentially living 30 plus years after you retire, right? You know, we really average out that most of our plans, financial plans, we set to age 95. So you really can't be thinking about, okay, I'm just going to save and invest until retirement, but instead I'm saving for my retirement and to fund another 30 years. So another mistake we often see is that people are much too conservative with how they're investing in their 401k plans, which, again, they lose out on that long-term growth. You know, you talk about all of the time, Steve, that all of our clients are invested in stocks. They might be certainly more conservative and have a lower portion of their portfolio in stocks than, say, you or I would, as we're more comfortable with risk. But, again, having some allocation to stocks really provides for that long-term growth, you know, that average 12% per year.
Yeah, and that's good stuff. On the other side of the news break, Nicole, really let's get into how clients should really look at investing. So many times you hear me say, folks, listen, when you retire, you don't plan on dying. You just plan on retiring. And as Nicole pointed out, if you retire at age 65, listen, we're living longer. We're being, you know, healthier. There's so much more going on in our lives today than the generation or two before us. So you have to take that into consideration as well. And, you know, Social Security, your average Social Security paycheck is about $15,000 a year. That's on average what people are getting, is around $15,000 a year. Some people are getting more, some people less, but on average. So if you're married and you're both in that average, when you retire, you're going to get $30,000 from Social Security on average. If you need more than $30,000, that's where you need to have some savings to be able to come in and be able to draw on that. If you're not able to draw on that, then you're stuck living on $30,000 a year from Social Security unless you decide you want to continue to work. And then you have to hope that you're healthy enough and that there's a job out there for you. Well, we're coming up to the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a quick news break. On the other side of the news break, Nicole and I have so many good things that we're going to continue on with regards to retirement planning and saving and investing. And hopefully, folks, you're going to get a lot out of today. And there's a lot of good information on our website, Boucher.com. That's B as in boy, Boucher.com. And, you know, even these shows, if you miss one of our shows on Saturday at noon or Sunday mornings at 8, you can go to our website and, you know, go back and listen to our shows. And probably the best presentation we do is our State of the Economy, which this year was done in February. So we're going to take a quick break for the news and stay with us. On the other side of the news, Nicole and I will continue our conversation and give you some things to think about so that Monday morning you can go into your employer and make some changes for the good, for the better. And all of a sudden you see your net worth grow because you got a balance. Welcome back, Thank you for hanging in through the news, folks, and thank you for tuning in. I can't thank you enough for tuning in every Saturday at noon or Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. to listen to what we had to say. Today I had the pleasure of sitting here with one of my colleagues, Nicole Goble, who's a CPA and one of our wealth advisors, and we're talking about retirement planning, and we're just finishing up our thoughts on Social Security and why it's so important for people to save towards retirement. I'm going to give a couple, something for you to think about. And as I said on the first half of the show, and I know I take people by storm when I say this, if you're not saving 10 to 15% of your salary, more than likely you're not saving enough. I can't stress, if you want to retire at a certain age, you get one opportunity in all those decades that you're working. Even if you don't plan on being at a job forever, and believe me, nowadays folks aren't in jobs forever. There used to be a day when people would start in one company and retire from that company, but no longer. Remember, the money you put into the pension plans is, it's all yours. You're 100% vested in that money. So if you change jobs or, you know, whatever, you can take that money, and you should take that money. You should roll it over into an individual retirement account, better known as an IRA. And, you know, Nicole, you know, I anybody who will listen to me, when they change jobs, and I know you've been doing this a long time, as have I, how many times do we see our clients that say, yeah, you know, now that I think about it, I think I worked at this company 20, 30, 40 years ago, and I think I had a retirement plan, but I forgot all about it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Absolutely. And, you know, the key to remember is you're no longer an employee of that company. But guess what? You're paying a portion of the fees for all of the other participants in that plan. So it's really unnecessary costs that you're incurring. Plus, you don't have the flexibility to invest in what you want. You're limited to the plan options. And I know Steve's talked about before how we tend to invest in what are called exchange-traded funds. They're low cost, they're tax efficient, and most 401k plans typically have mutual funds. And while there are some good mutual funds out there that are low cost or index funds, you know, certainly, some of them can be active funds that have higher fees. And again, something you want to avoid is paying any unnecessary investment fees on those products, you know, so you have the better long-term return. So again, you know, not only taking enough risk in your retirement accounts, but how you're doing that or what tools you're using in investment products within that account is really important. So when you have the option to roll over a former employer retirement plan to an IRA, one, that saves you the fees of, you know, the other participants on that plan and paying for that unnecessary cost. And two, you now can invest that the way you want in, again, low cost, efficient products, you know, that are going to give you the long term return that you need.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a great point. You know, once you take that money from, listen, when you're working for a company, give them a good day's work and be loyal to them. But once you depart that company for whatever reason, maybe on your own, maybe not on your own, take whatever retirement dollars you have, roll it into an IRA. You could have 10 jobs, 10 IRA rollovers through the years, but you really can roll it into one IRA. So having one IRA is so much easier to keep track of, and as Nicole points out, not only is it easier to keep track of, you are able to invest in a way the world is available to you, the world of investing, and you could really have a good portfolio, especially when you engage services of a wealth manager like our firm, where We act as fiduciaries with no conflict of interest. We're able to structure a portfolio for our clients that's right for our clients. And we're always looking for, as I like to say, we like to make the most money we can make paying the least amount in fees with the least amount of risk possible. And what I mean by that is there are embedded fees in all forms of investments. When you look at exchange-traded funds, which is predominantly what we invest our clients in. Why? As Nicole pointed out, low cost, the internal management fees, and there's internal management fees in ETFs, exchange-traded funds, mutual funds, and annuities. The ETFs start out, our core position starts out as low as 0.03%. That's 0.03%. Our total portfolio is less than 0.25%. All fees added up, embedded fees. We disclose all fees acting as a fiduciary. That's one thing that we are. We're very transparent. We disclose everything to our clients. So we talk about fees, and we're not uncomfortable at all talking about fees. So our total portfolios usually, you know, less than not only 0.25, but right now I think our current portfolio is 0.18%. Mutual fund, according to Morningstar, the average internal management fee is about 1.2%. With annuities, they could be as much as 3% or more. You get the picture. Holy cow. Now you know one of the reasons why we use ETFs is the low cost. And we know exactly what we own in an ETF. It's really transparent for the most part. We know what's in the ETF. Sometimes there's active managed ETFs where we're not sure day to day what the manager is actively buying. It could be bonds, stocks, commodities, whatever it might be. But for most of the ETFs that we use, we know exactly what's in it. So we like ETFs, and they're very tax efficient. You could buy a mutual fund on December 1st, not realizing that the manager of the mutual fund took a lot of gains. I mean, Nicole, how many times do you see this happen? You could own the fund for what? A day sometimes and have a huge tax bill.
Yeah, and it's something that unfortunately is very last minute, as you said, Steve. So it could be December 28th that you get this large capital gain distribution from a mutual fund that you've owned for potentially a short period of time. You've taken no action. You've done nothing, yet you have the tax burden. I had a former client who literally 10% of their account value, they had a $900,000 account of mutual funds. They received $90,000 at the end of 2018 in basically capital gain distributions and had no control over that. And so obviously when they came to work with me, you know, we made it a much more tax efficient portfolio because we wanted to avoid them ever having that huge tax bill and certainly unexpectedly December 28th and then owing the money to the IRS.
Yeah. And this is the beauty about the way we work with our clients. We share all of this with our clients, so our clients know exactly. And when it comes to annuities, folks, if you've listened to the show more than once, well, one, it's a trend, because I think as soon as you listen to something twice, that starts a trend, right? But if you've listened to my show more than once, you know that I'm not a huge fan of annuities, although there are times when annuities can work. I'm just not a fan. I'm not a proponent, and we don't like having people buy annuities. There's 6% commission. You're locked in for 7 years. But worse yet, when you invest in an annuity, let's make believe you put $100,000 into an annuity. Forget all the fees that are embedded in there. There's a reason why there's a 65-page contract. If that annuity grows to $150,000 and you cash out, well, one, you have to cash out after 7 years. Otherwise, there's what they call a back-end sales charge. And two, that's earned income. Earned income is a whole lot more than capital gains, or at least at the moment, it's a whole lot more. It's a bigger tax rate than capital gains. So since 1998, I think, is that when the tax law changed, Nicole? 97 or 98, I get mixed up. You know, there's really no reason, very few reasons why investors should invest in annuities. Back then, the growth was considered capital gains, and sometimes you can get some benefits, but not as much. So be careful with how you invest your money, which goes back to Nicole and I kind of suggesting that when you leave an employer, or if you have left an employer two or three along the way, and if you've left your money behind, go back, folks, get that money, roll it into an IRA in your name, engage the services of a wealth manager to help you manage that. So, obviously, we're spending a lot of time talking about the power of investing. I'm going to give out a couple numbers, and Nicole, whenever I do this, I usually get emails. People are just amazed. Everybody wants to have $1 million. So if you want to have $1 million at age 65, how do you get there? Wait till you hear these numbers, folks. Let's make believe you got a... is there such a thing as a paper boy, paper girl delivering newspapers anymore? Well, maybe you're mowing lawns, whatever. If you have earned income at, 15, 16 years old, I don't even know what the rules are. If you put $58 a month away, month in, month out, and let's make believe hypothetically you're getting a 10% return on your money from the age of 15 to the age of 65, $58 a month for all those years, you're going to have $1 million at age 65. Let's make believe you just come out of college and you're age 25. How much money do you need to put away to have $1 million at age 65? About $157. Let's make believe you decide to wait 5 years. Go back to what I said in the first half of the show. As soon as you graduate from college, before you get used to spending all that money, start putting it away. Put it into the pension plan at work, an IRA, better yet, a Roth IRA. So if you wait just 5 years, instead of having to put away $157, you need to put away almost $265 a month, month in, month out, from the age of 30 to the age of 65 to have $1 million. If you wait till age 40, hold on to the seat of your pants, folks, $750, just waiting 10 years. If you wait to age 50, all of a sudden, your family's throwing you a happy 50th birthday party. You made it halfway through a century, right? And you forgot to save for the last 25 years that you were working, and you want to have $1 million at age 65. Folks, you got to put away about $2,500 a month, month in, month out, till age 65 to have $1 million. You get the picture. The earlier you are, or the younger you are, the earlier you get started, the more you're going to have. And that's what's important. Nicole, how many times do we say to people, one opportunity, make sure you are putting money away along the way?
Absolutely. And, the other thing to think about is working with an advisor can help you to determine, are there other areas in your life where you're maybe overspending, or maybe you have, as you've talked about before, Steve, some life insurance products that are not appropriate, that are expensive and you don't need. And, we can help you to determine what is it that you need just for the income coverage, just for that catastrophic coverage, and free up that money towards retirement savings instead. Again, there could be other areas in your life where maybe you have some high interest debt, and we can help you to refinance that, with a home equity loan or cash out, refinancing of your home. So, don't think about it just in the terms of you have to take money off the top, but also, are there other decisions you could be making in your life that can free up this cash, that can be saved towards retirement?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I know, Nicole, you are so passionate about women and wealth and women and investing. And, we've given out some statistics along the way in past shows about just, sometimes women aren't making as much as their male counterparts. Sometimes, especially during COVID, more women lost their jobs or weren't able to work because of child care and so forth. And we really go out of our way. I've been trying to help women. I don't care if it's a divorce or losing, their spouse, their husband. When it comes to helping women with their wealth, I want to make sure that we're getting them to a point where they are very comfortable, very independent, very knowledgeable. And when it comes to retirement planning, especially, we want to make sure that we help them as much as possible. There's also a lot of people that come into sudden money. you know, sudden money could be winning the lottery. That's a great way of getting into sudden money. Other ways is through life insurance or inheritance or some other forms of sudden money. Sometimes it's a divorce. Sometimes it's a sale of a business. And when people come into sudden money, boy, you know, they need to make sure they do the right thing. So, Nicole, what do you want to talk about? You know, I feel like I've been talking about the saving and you've been helping me, you know, drive home the point of how important it is. But come on, you tell me what you want to talk about.
Well, something that's been coming up a lot recently with some client meetings has been, you know, other forms of compensation that people might have access to at their employers. So many of the clients I've spoken to in the area might have employer stock through employer stock purchase plans or restricted stock or stock options. And there's a lot of navigating to do around those type of awards. You know, first, making sure that you are taking advantage of them if they're available to you, but also really understanding how they're going to be used within your kind of long-term plan and the tax treatment of the different options available to you. I've seen a lot of mistakes made where, you know, somebody becomes really so leveraged within their own company stock, and upon retirement, they're kind of stuck with a larger amount of company stock than they have in any other retirement account. And then they have to think about, how do I unwind this? And how do I sell out of this tax efficiently to support my lifestyle expenses? So as you said before, Steve, you know, make sure that, yeah, you're giving your current company your all, your loyalty, certainly a great day's work, you know, and also investing in that company if you believe in its financial future. But again, just thinking about what makes sense as far as how much of your savings you really want to allocate, you know, to an individual company.
Yeah, and, you know, I've shared this with the listening audience through the years. We had a client, I'll never forget, Nicole. This client came in, or prospective client, and like 90% of their portfolio was in GE stock. Now, I'm going back to the late 90s, and we know that GE peaked at around $58 a share at the beginning of the century. So 21 years ago, folks, GE was as much as $58 a share. Dropped all the way down to under six during the Great Recession and went all the way up to like the low 30s, and then it came all the way back to $6, and here we are somewhere sitting in the teens. Long story short, and this is where Nicole, myself, and our other wealth advisors, when we have prospective clients come in, because we're not selling them anything, because all we care about is what's best for them, we truly give them our professional opinion. And folks, I'm surrounded by a team of professionals that is second to none. I'm truly proud of the team that I've been able to build out and the expertise that we bring to the table. You know, we have three CPAs, so when it comes to tax planning and all of that, we're rock solid. We have four certified financial planners. I mean, when you're doing business with your favorite financial advisor, you need to ask them, how many people on your team, are any of them certified in this area or that area, whether it be financial planning or taxes, or, you know, we also have an accredited investment fiduciary. I mean, we have a lot of expertise that we're proud of. But anyway, going back to this client, the prospective client in the late 90s, one of the things that I went over with him was that we had to come up with a game plan of unwinding all that GE stock. Lo and behold, this prospective client did not engage our services because GE was a great company. There's no way he was going to sell it. Well, we know the story. As I said, it peaked at $58, went all the way down to 6, came up to low 30s, went all the way back to 6, and here we are sitting in the low teens. Anybody who has owned GE stock, and I'm just picking on GE because it's one of the more popular stocks locally anyway, anybody who's owned GE stock along the way has lost a lot of their net worth just in the last 21 years. No matter how great of a company may be, you don't want to be, as Nicole pointed out, leveraged. Give them a good day's work, put some of your money in their company stock, but there's so many other prudent investments out there. And when it comes to the stock options and everything, we do have the expertise. We have local companies, whether it be GE, Regeneron, AngioDynamics, National Grid, so many local companies where a lot of people have big decisions to make. And unfortunately, sometimes they have, especially at GE, they have insurance agents walking the halls, talking to these executives about decisions they make. And more times than not, they're being sold an insurance product. And there's just so many things that people can do. Real quick, Nicole, we just did a NUA for a client. And this is something that very few loyal, especially long-term loyal employees of companies that have accumulated a lot of company stock don't know about.
Sure. So a net unrealized appreciation, it's in fact when a large portion of the balance in your company or employer 401k plan is company stock. And this used to be the case many years ago where the employer match was automatically going to be in employer stock in that plan. And you could also choose to put your money, contribute into your employer 401k as that stock. There's a special rule that if you have a large amount of employer stock in your 401k plan, rather than rolling it over to an IRA, which would be a non-taxable event, and then you would just draw down on that, you know, during retirement and pay ordinary income rates on those distributions, instead you can take that chunk of company stock out, pay tax on it today on the value of the cost basis, and then capital gains on the rest as you sell it and move it to a brokerage account. So what it's doing is taking something that was in a retirement wrapper or that would have been taxed as ordinary income coming out, just having you, again, pay tax on that cost basis, which in some cases can be really, really low if you've held it for many years, so that could be an advantage. So say it's a $100,000 cost basis and it's worth $1 million today. You're paying the tax on the $100,000 as income, you're moving it out to a brokerage account, and then over time as you're selling that, you're paying capital gains rates on that other $900,000. And there's no need to immediately sell it, but again, work with an advisor, work with a CPA to determine a plan. But it's a pretty complicated rule and, you know, something you don't come across very often. And I think our team has the expertise, you know, to help with something like that, whereas many other advisors might not even be aware of it.
Absolutely. And a lot of accountants aren't aware of it either. It's amazing. Once again, folks, when I tell you I'm proud of the team that I've surrounded myself by, I can't begin to tell you just how far and wide and deep we go with the client relationships and all that we do for our clients. I mean, we do so much more than just manage their wealth. It really is something that I'm very, very proud of. So as we're coming up to the end of the show, the other thing that I'm proud of is the fact that Nicole, myself, and our other wealth advisors, our personal wealth is managed just like our clients. And that's something that a lot of advisors out there can't say. I mean, heck, there's a lot of firms out there. You could be a client, a new client this week, and you're going to get this week's great ideas. And the new client last week got last week's great ideas. Folks, we manage a lot of money in a very disciplined manner. And I think one of the feathers in our cap, you know, I always like to say to clients, my money's managed just like yours and Nicole's as well, along with our other wealth advisors. And that's something that a lot of people can't say. And you know, it's something that Nicole and I are proud of. So, you know, as we wrap up, Nicole, any parting thoughts?
Just thank you for having me on, Steve. It's a pleasure speaking to the audience. And I would just stress that as you're, you know, moving to a new employer or even considering moving your current away from your current employer, seek out some professional guidance to make sure you're making the right decisions, both around electing to utilize benefits as well as not making any mistakes of leaving anything on the table as you're leaving.
Great stuff. But Nicole, I knew when you joined our team that you were going to be full of so many great ideas. Folks, you get the picture. We're here to help. If we can be of any assistance to you, there's no charge to come in for an initial consultation. Go to our website, Boucher.com, B as in boy, OUCHEY.com, or call our offices in historic downtown Troy or Saratoga Springs, 518-720-3333. For now, enjoy the rest of the day. Stay safe, stay healthy, and thank you for tuning in.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.